Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios Brisbane on 102.1 FM and broadcast across Australia on the Community Radio Network.
You're listening to Zed Games. With 10 years experience and over 500 episodes, Zed Games brings you the best in gaming news, reviews, community and culture. Want to reach out? Message us on Facebook at ZEDGamesAU.
My name is Evie, and I'm hanging out in studio today on my own. I'm missing my team very, very much. 4ZZZ has been an amazing support in terms of getting me out of the house every week, so I greatly appreciate it. Zed Games here, we talk about video games, and we talk about gaming-related things. We play gaming-related music, and most of all, because we're a community radio, and we're all volunteer here at 4ZZZ and Zed Games, mainly, that we are non-biased. We love what we create, and we love talking about games from our own personal experience. We're completely uninfluenced by any company or any select group of people other than our own personal interests. But yeah, I really love Aussie games. Australian games are something that I'm very proud of, and I'm proud to be a qualified junior game designer. And I think what's really awesome at the moment out there in the world is that people are making games and experiencing games on a totally different level than they ever have before, because they can't go anywhere. They can stay at home and experience beautiful, meaningful things, whether they're big AAA games that cost you $80 to $120, or whether they're small things that are only $3 or even free and that make you feel special, pass the time, make you experience something different. And that's important to us here at Zed Games, and that's important to me too, personally. So, this week, we got some interesting stuff. We've got the week in gaming news, which another interesting week in news, and it's been a very interesting week every week since COVID-19 isolation and quarantine started. After the news, we will have a review from Rani on PestaQuest, which is going to be really good. It's a very heavily narrative-driven game, and Rani does such a wonderful job of reviewing games, so I'm really looking forward to hearing what she says about PestaQuest. Then we have another review from me. I reviewed earlier this week In Other Waters, which is another beautiful game, absolutely stunning. I'm really excited to share with you my thoughts on that. Both PestaQuest and In Other Waters was published by Australian publishing company called Fellow Traveller, and that's why I'm excited about Australian games, because both of them are published by an Australian company, and both games have absolutely beautiful music, so I'm very, very excited. But yeah, without further ado, I think we should get into the news this week, so let's do it.
This week in gaming news, Valorant is taking over the gaming landscape, and it hasn't even been released yet. The new video game, Valorant, is the first of its kind for Riot Games, being a first-person shooter, with gameplay objectives similar to Counter-Strike Global Offensive and special character abilities like Overwatch. Over the Easter weekend, Valorant smashed records on Twitch, the video game streaming platform, which had over 34 million hours watched in a single day in just one game category. It also had a peak viewership of 1.7 million, which is second only to another Riot game, League of Legends, during the World Championship. All of this attention has generated hype around Valorant being an esport, and the game is still in its beta phase. With Valorant doing so well so early, time will tell after its official release how big it's really going to get. Sony's new DualSense PlayStation controller is getting some hype as well. When it comes to console controllers, it can be really challenging to get it right. However, Sony have released the new DualSense controller, and it has been receiving pretty positive feedback from the game tech critics. After the release of the PS4 controller, which was argued to be not that different from the PS3 controller, it isn't until now that there has been a revolution with controller technology. Sony is determined to have the best complementing controller for the new PS5, which is expected to release later this year. The PS5 will not play games from previous generation consoles and will have new features such as a faster SSD and new hardware that's exclusive to PS5. The DualSense controller features adaptive triggers with adjustable resistance, new haptic feedback technology, and Sony also says that it has more advanced rumble hardware. Now that the new PS5 controller has been shown off, we'll just have to wait and see for the PlayStation 5. In other news relating to COVID-19 and the games industry, Blizzard believes it might not be hosting BlizzCon 2020 due to concerns about the virus. Sarah Lynn Smith, the executive producer of BlizzCon, says, "The health of our community, employees, and everyone who helps with the show is our top consideration. It might be a few months before we know for certain if or how we'll proceed, but as soon as we have a meaningful update, we'll share it. It wouldn't come as a surprise if BlizzCon 2020 was to be postponed. However, there may be a virtual space we can visit showcasing all things Blizzard that we would have missed at the convention." So many movies and TV series are being cancelled amid the virus. In saying that, James Gunn, director of Suicide Squad and Guardians of the Galaxy 3, says, "We are on or ahead of schedule for both films. With so much film and TV being delayed, it's nice to hear some good news for DC and Marvel fans." There is also a full list of delays made available by GamesRadar that will be shared on the Zed Games Facebook page at ZEDGamesAU if you'd like to have a look. That's all this week in gaming news.
Interesting week in news. Very disappointed to hear about BlizzCon. Also, not surprised. I mean, it's pretty hard to expect there to be any conventions or any large gatherings of any sort to do with video games until all this settles down. Yeah, I'm sad. Especially since Overwatch 2 is supposed to be released at some point, and I would have loved to have seen what they were going to showcase at BlizzCon this year for that. Yeah. Aside from that, though, Sony new PlayStation controller, Valorant's taking off, Twitch are breaking down records. It's not even... like, with Twitch TV, it's quite crazy to me because so many people not only play games at the moment, so many people are also watching gameplay through Twitch and maybe Mixer and other streaming platforms. It's just insane. I'm astounded by the sheer quantity of people that are diving into the video game space and engaging with the content. I mean, if you think about it, to have over the Easter weekend 34 million hours worth of a single game consumed by, you know, the public, by the world, I mean, that's mental. That's a insane amount of time to spend watching video games. I mean, I can't say much. I've probably watched in excess of 70 hours per week, but yeah. What can I say? I like watching video games as much as I love playing them. Yeah. But in terms of something else interesting in the news, TV series, you know, being cancelled, and Suicide Squad and Guardians of the Galaxy 3 still going ahead. Yes! Very excited for that. I know that there is a bit of tension between DC and Marvel and watching these types of films, but honestly, I'm really enjoying them. I'm really enjoying seeing my childhood fantasies of being a superhero come to life with all that, all this, and Guardians of the Galaxy just really it's a wholesome can't help yourself flick, so that's fantastic. There's also a really long list of TV shows and movies that are delayed. So sad. Super sad to hear it. One of them actually is The Witcher, The Witcher 2 series, and I've been super loving that series. So I'm a bit upset. Steam also hit quite a large number of sales. 80% of Steam companies, like people that upload to Steam, have made quite a substantial amount of money over the last 2-3 weeks. That's fantastic. It's good to see that money is coming into the hands of game designers and game creators. Yeah, so it's good to see that people are, whether they're doing it to support the indie community or not, it's still good. So I'll take it. Yeah, lots of fun. We're going to get into more fun now. Lots and lots of fun now. because Rani, beautiful Rani, who cannot be in studio with me tonight, has been playing lots of games, probably more games than when we weren't in quarantine, like most people, which is an eyebrow raise for me because she should be playing games all the time as far as I'm concerned. But she's done an incredible review of PestaQuest, which came out on my birthday last year, so 4th September 2019. It's been out for a little while, and it's published by Fellow Traveller, who are an Australian games publishing company based in Melbourne. So let's have a listen to Rani's review of PestaQuest.
Hey! So just a warning, the following review may contain some spoilers for the quite popular graphic novel Homestuck. Homestuck finished a couple of years ago, so if you haven't read it by now, sorry. Anything I say is pretty sort of common knowledge to anyone who's familiar with the Homestuck universe. But today I'm going to be reviewing PestaQuest. And PestaQuest is another visual novel that's actually been released through Steam. And it acts as a sequel to the game Hive Swap Friendship Simulator. And it's been released fully now, but it was released in volumes fortnightly, similar to Hive Swap itself, and also similar to how Homestuck was released when it was ongoing. I am a big fan of the Homestuck series. I read it in high school when it was still being written, and I kept up with it and all of that. So to see that there are not one but two new sort of objects in the Homestuck universe in the canon is amazing. PestaQuest is a visual novel, so there's not much more to it than it being a continuation of the Homestuck story. So PestaQuest is essentially an alternate universe of what happened in the original Homestuck timeline, and it you are the sort of generic traveler that we encounter in the first couple of chapters of Homestuck. And essentially what happens is you sort of mess everything up, and none of the kids are able to play Spurb. So none of what happens in Homestuck can happen. And instead you act as this traveler, which is what we call him. And you go around and you visit each and every single one of the kids that is involved in the Homestuck series. I've been making my way through it because it is fully written out. It's a fully fleshed out story, slowly, and I'm sort of experiencing these new sides of the characters that I'd never sort of experienced before. You find out new things about the characters. The art style is slightly more refined. So if you know about Homestuck, and even if you go to look up Homestuck at the moment, it's going to look quite a bit different to PestaQuest and Hive Swap, because this time around, Andrew Hussey's been able to work with other devs to make this. So PestaQuest was produced by an Aussie game production company, which is amazing that something this big has a hand in the Australian games industry. So the production company was What Pumpkin Games, and the visual novel still has every Homestuck aesthetic to it. It's just a little bit more refined because it's not being done in MS Paint anymore, which is sort of the best thing about it. You actually get a little bit more to the characters. You can see a little bit more like how they're built and those sorts of things, how their hair really does flow, and all of those things. But that being said, the characters are still so familiar to you. The music The music is Homestuck. It's everything about it is Homestuck. Everything about it draws you back into that sort of sense of, oh my gosh, I'm like 14, 15, 16 again, and everything's happening for the first time. Everything's so amazing. All of the animations are like basic. The drawings are still fairly basic. It's not overwhelming you with anything but storylines, and the way that Hussie sort of breaks that meta, breaks that fourth wall and makes everything more than, bigger than, is so amazing. And it's the thing that I loved the most about Homestuck, is that you get so engrossed in it, and sometimes you'll just get a little quip from the writer, which is like, yeah, I'm getting paid for this, so I might as well get back to the narrative, or look, you can't get mad at me, I'm doing this all on my own, sort of thing. The music itself is just like, imagine that all of those little 8-bit games that you play that don't have such intensive gameplay, but they're just trucking along, and you don't ever really notice that the track has restarted if you're taking too long to do something, because it's been composed so well that it just flows continuously. I have been really enjoying Pester Quest, and I'm actually going to start playing Hive Swap as well, because I have access to it through Origin. So Pester Quest is available on Steam. It's not overly expensive, and I think that if you're a fan of Homestuck, it's definitely something to have a look at and play, because when Homestuck ended, nobody wanted it to end. I remember sitting there, and I remember periodically checking the website after it had ended, just to see if maybe there was more. So I recommend Pester Quest. I think it is an amazing game, well, visual novel to have. It's interesting that it's something that's been released on a gaming platform as a game. You do have interactive things, like you do click through different dialogues, and different dialogues will take you into different scenarios. But at the core, it's still a Homestuck graphic novel. And I think that if you're going to delve into Hive Swap and Pester Quest, you need to have read Homestuck first. It really does sort of rely on your knowledge of the Homestuck universe. And even if you haven't read it since it came out, since it finished, which was 4 years ago, I was actually surprised by how much came flooding back and how much I had retained. And the moment that I saw the little doodle of John with the traveler, me, I immediately remembered where that took place in the original Homestuck novel and where I was in relation to that story. And so the context was set for me so quickly, and it all came flooding back. So yes, I recommend Pester Quest on Steam. Beautiful, beautiful, interesting way of continuing such a well-loved story. And then check out Hive Swap. I'll probably do a review on it as well. But yeah. Enjoy!
Thank you so much, Rani, for that amazing review of Pester Quest. I just love narrative-driven games, and I think I love them more now than I appreciate them more as I've been getting older. Maybe because I have the patience to actually read and engage with them. So thanks, Rani, for reviewing such a beautiful game. I actually reviewed a game called In Other Waters, and it's an amazing game, and I am going to leave it up to myself to tell you about this game.
about In Other Waters, which is this awesome indie game that came out on the 3rd of April 2020 this year. It was published by Fellow Traveller, which is an Australian games publishing company. And it was developed by Gareth Damian Martin, who is the solo designer at Jump Over the Age. So let's start with some of the narrative. Ellery Vass is a xenobiologist who discovers alien life on an alien planet while trying to find her missing research partner, Minae Nomura. Ellery finds herself completely stranded in the ocean with a malfunctioning diving suit, and you, a strange AI, who is to guide her to safety while exploring extraterrestrial fauna, and of course assisting her with the search for Minae. In Other Waters is a game heavily driven by narrative, and not just for the characters, but also the landscapes you encounter, the creatures you discover, and the history of the planet you delve into. There are many secrets to divulge, challenges to face, and some that test the bond you share with Ellery. This game brilliantly touches on topics such as environmental destruction, life decisions, as well as human and AI relationships. In Other Waters uses a gorgeous minimalistic color palette, such as teal, bright yellows, and deep greens. They dominate the screen, which you might think is a bit too much, however, it creates this very aesthetically pleasing visual that is a delight to navigate. These colors shift and change as you dive deeper into the depths of the ocean in pursuit of finding both alien and human life. This exploration, heavily narrative-driven, deep and emotional game depends completely on UI, which is the user interface, which is what you see as the player and what you interact with. The aeroplane pilot-like navigation system you use is to assist Ellery around the underwater landscapes is absolutely stunning. It's simple, and most importantly, it feels like you're doing the thing you're intending to do. For example, you must collect samples of the environment around you to examine as you gather the specimens. You must also click on different dials, buttons, and knobs to make that process happen. The way Gareth has designed these systems really makes you feel like you're extracting something from the environment. There are other mechanics and systems that are so unique to In Other Waters that there aren't many games that I can compare to when it comes to this type of narrative experience. As you explore the topography of the world around you in the blue-green depths of the ocean, you do come across an abandoned base that allows you to recharge your suit and access other game features for you to further examine, engage, or explore. There may be different samples that you have collected, or maybe check out the map to see the locations you have traveled to since your journey began. There was only one issue that tended to irritate me while playing, and that was the dialogue from Ellery had a timer. This meant that I had to keep up with Ellery even though there was dialogue from scans of the area that I was trying to read simultaneously, which were displayed in a different section of the UI. That was particularly difficult, and that made things challenging when I was trying to learn at the beginning through the tutorial process. Ellery would be explaining to me things whilst I was also interacting with other environmental parts of the game. In saying that, it's a small thing, and it definitely doesn't take away from the game, from the game's overall experience by any means. In terms of the audio, it's eerie, endless, echoing sounds of the deep. Amos Roddy does an exceptional job of soundscaping the vastness of this alien planet's oceans. There are plenty of echoes and tremors of the deep that as you play, you discover new creatures or mechanics that become available to you. You can really dive into the environment with Amos's music, submerging you into this alien water world. Some of the sounds are reminiscent of whale calls or dolphin cries, which just adds to this game's rich and alluring experience. In Other Waters is currently receiving accolades and praise from players and critics around the world and is an early contender for Game of the Year 2020. All of this, of course, is completely well-deserved. This is a unique and interesting experience that is unlike anything I have ever played before. Amos Roddy's beautiful and haunting music fleshes out Gareth's intention of creating a game that compels you to explore deeper and deeper. In Other Waters evokes feelings of wonder and intrigue, encouraging you to think differently about the environment, people, and almost go so far as to ponder life altogether. In Other Waters is a game for indie lovers, people who want to experience insightful narrative and enjoy world exploration. I have thoroughly enjoyed my time with In Other Waters, and I really encourage you to take a look as well. Don't forget to support indie devs during this time, and I definitely would say to support fellow traveler and jump over the age with this incredible experience In Other Waters. You can purchase In Other Waters on Steam and also on the Nintendo Switch. I played on the Nintendo Switch, and I would say that it's definitely a different experience from the PC, so make sure you take a bit of research into what you're sort of looking to interact with. I think Nintendo Switch is probably the better platform, purely because you can engage with moving the Joy-Cons and the buttons and sliding and moving things, whereas when it's on PC, it is just mostly clicking, which is still great for its own reasons. The genre of this game is mostly narrative exploration, adventure, atmospheric, and indie, so again, if that's the sort of thing that you're interested in, I would highly recommend In Other Waters. But yeah, thanks for listening.
Wow, you're just listening to my voice from the past, talking about a game called In Other Waters. Beautiful, beautiful game. Really check it out. Seriously, check it out. It's awesome. It is coming to the end of our time, but before I leave, I was reading some of the list of movie and TV delays, TV show delays, and I actually didn't know this. People will probably laugh at me, but I didn't know that Avatar 2, 3, 4, and 5, if you remember James Cameron's Avatar, because it was a very long time ago, they were in production? Okay. I didn't even know that, but they're delayed. So I guess it doesn't really affect me. But if you didn't know that, they've been delayed. I think they've been... Haven't they been delayed for a long time? Like, surely. That was a long, long time ago that the first Avatar was out. Brilliant film. Absolute 100% credit to that film. But I didn't even know that there were more films in production. Yeah, also other movies that are delayed that makes me sad. Like Mulan. Yeah, I'm big, I have a big thing for, like, Disney movies, and especially Disney films where it's, like, a strong independent woman lead, and I am super sad that Mulan is delayed, and it's moved to July the 24th, so I guess, not too bad, but still sad. And in terms of TV shows that are sort of relating, to the games industry, Batwoman's delayed, Falcon and the Winter Soldier is also delayed. Mythic Quest is also delayed. Mythic Quest is a game dev company, I guess like a sitcom or comedy. Season I believe is out on Apple TV. It's supposed to be really, really good, and I will be talking about it at some point. But yeah, that's delayed. The second season of that is delayed. The Flash is delayed. Supernatural, apparently, they're making that again, and that's delayed. And then, obviously, Witcher Season 2 is delayed as well. Man, so much good stuff. I didn't even know this either, but apparently the Lord of the Rings TV series is in production. It's delayed, but it's in production. So I think that's a win. I think it's a win because I didn't know that it was a thing. So the fact that it's delayed, you know, doesn't upset me because I didn't even know that it was being produced. But yeah, I don't know. Game stuff. Fun stuff. Yeah. Well, I guess it's time for me to say goodbye. It's been another awesome episode of Zed Games talking about wonderful, awesome indie games. Thanks, Rani, for talking about PestaQuest. And I also talked about In Other Waters. If you'd like to check out the reviews again, the written form, they will be on the Zed Games website. Or you can check out the Zed Games Facebook page to follow the link to find out the news and everything that we talk about each week. But on that note, we'll see you guys soon. Have fun out there, stay safe, and keep playing games.
Thanks for listening to Zed Games. If you'd like to listen to more, check out our podcast on Spotify or follow us on social media at ZEDGamesAU. See you next time.